Leviticus 25 and 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And I'd like to say good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I'd like to welcome you once again to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. That Blessings of Liberty just has a nice ring to it to me. I chose that name for the radio broadcast because it has a patriotic, historical significance to it, and it also has a biblical, historical significance to it. Blessings of Liberty actually comes from the preamble to the United States Constitution, which originally the Constitution did not even have a title. It just simply began, We the People of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And liberty, freedom, is really what America is all about. But you know, when they began in this country, they did not get the idea from any other source than primarily from the Bible, the Word of God. The idea of liberty is not an American invention. It is a invention or an idea that God in His Word has given to us. And that's where they found their inspiration. That's where they drew their inspiration from, was the idea of liberty as found in the Bible, the Word of God. Now, our founders knew this. They understood this. There's the song we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Samuel Francis Smith wrote that song in the late 1800s. And of course, everybody probably is familiar with the first line of the song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, of Thee I Sing. But the fourth stanza in that song starts out, and it says, Our Father's God, to Thee, Author of Liberty, to Thee we sing. They knew who the Author of Liberty was. The Author of Liberty is the Lord God of Heaven. The Bible says in Leviticus 25 and 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That verse of Scripture is found up on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I wonder if the atheist will want to remove the Liberty Bell from public view because it has a scripture from the Word of God upon it. I guess that'll be next. I seen this morning on the news where there is a zoo in Oakland, California. It has, and I don't know the reason behind it, but it has a monument with the Ten Commandments upon it. And sure enough, somebody has come along and they'd like that removed from public property. I saw the foolish man that was opposed to that, and he said, I believe this is a violation of church and state, and I don't want to see this on public property. Well, before I go further and get off on that, I want to say good morning to everybody and good morning to Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here today. I want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners, and never fails when we are out in town or I go to churches, we always meet somebody that will tell us that they appreciate the blessings of liberty, and we appreciate you listening in. We have probably more listeners than we even realize because the reach of the through the WATA, the listeners here, and then on WZAP as well. We have many that listens in on Saturday mornings, and then we have the church website. And I had somebody last week, they live in Ashe County, and they told me they really enjoyed the radio broadcast. I said, do you mean you get the radio broadcast out there? And he said, no, but we listen in on the church website. And so they had been going to mountlebanonbc.org, and they had listened to all the broadcast that we did before the marriage amendment, and they were talking about that. And so we really appreciate everybody that takes the time to listen to the Blessings of Liberty. Now, 2 weeks ago, I started talking about the progressive movement in America. Now, the progressives, that is an actual movement that started around the beginning of the 1900s, Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt. There's many, John Dewey. Maybe you remember growing up in school, them talking about the Dewey Decimal System in the library. That comes from a man named John Dewey. John Dewey was a progressive. He was a pro-communist, and he is someone that everybody would be familiar with, maybe not for his political views, but for the Dewey Decimal System. When you go to the library and look on the back of the book, and you know how you find a book in the library. Well, John Dewey came up with that. But there are many progressives, and I even seen in the newspaper this morning article. I did not bring it with me, but it was talking about the liberalism in the media, and it said it interchanged liberal and progressive. And a progressive, just in case you've not been listening in or maybe you forgot, the progressive idea is basically this. Well, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, our founding forefathers, bless their heart, they were good old fellas, but what they came up with is not good for today. So we need to move beyond the Constitution onto something else. We need to move beyond the Declaration of Independence to something else. And so that is the basic idea of the progressive movement. Now, I do not believe that. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But the progressive, their general idea is to move beyond the Constitution. It's out of date. We need to progress beyond that. Well, I would call it regressive, but they call it progressive. Anyway, there are many in our history. Woodrow Wilson, I've mentioned a few, John Dewey, Roosevelt, but they're everywhere in society today, in politics, in Hollywood, in higher education, so-called. Mr. Obama is a progressive. Rick Santorum called himself a conservative progressive. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, they're progressives. Romney is a progressive, and on we could go this morning. And so we talked about the progressive movement. And then last week we introduced another word, and I'm sure most everybody is at least familiar with this, and that's the modernist. The modernists came along at about the exact same time as the progressive movement. The modernist, though, has a more of a religious idea behind it or associated with it. And the modernists, where the progressive would come along and say, well, the Constitution, that's old and outdated. We need to move along to something else. The modernist comes along and says, well, the old King James Bible, that was good when it was written, but now we need something more modern. We need to move along to something else and change. And so we see in 1901 the introduction in America of the American Standard Version, which was based on the Revised Standard Version of 1881 over in England. Well, in 1901 in America, the American Standard Version was introduced. It went bankrupt within 20 years, but there we find the beginning of the changing of the Bible, the modern Bible revision movement. And today, my goodness, there's about a new so-called version comes out about every year, usually right before Christmas, because they want those Christmas stocking dollars as well. But you know, I mentioned last week I had found in a book that I have at home, the name of the book is A Patriot's History of the United States. And in that book, there's a chapter on progressive reformers, or a heading under progressive reformers, and it says about them, in order to change the very fabric and meaning of America, It said in that book, and this is a direct quote, to do so usually involves significant revisions of the Bible, and many, though not all, social gospelers abandon any claims about Scripture's literal accuracy. And so at the same time in America, we have the progressive movement, we have the modernist movement. One says we need to get rid of the Constitution, it's old and outdated. The other comes along and says we need to get rid of the Bible, it's old and outdated. We need to come up with something else. And so what I'd like to talk about today, or what I would like to put under a heading, when you're talking about the progressive movement and the modernist movement, I would call that the two-pronged attack to destroy America. The two-pronged attack to destroy America. Now, I don't intend to get into this in great detail today, but what I do know about prophecy and the Bible, America and liberty and individual freedom will not survive during the reign of the Antichrist. You cannot have a nation built on freedom and liberty and have what the Bible describes will take place during the end days, during the reign of the Antichrist. You cannot have that kind of a nation and a one-world dictator. Prophetically speaking, America has to go one day. The question is when is that going to be? None of us know. But there is a two-pronged attack to destroy America. Get rid of the Bible. Get rid of every vestige of remembering God out of the public eye. And we see that. I gave an example, the Ten Commandments. Nobody wants to see the Ten Commandments anywhere. We don't want prayer in school. We don't want God, the Bible. I mean, you name it. There's an attack on America. To destroy America. Now, we just celebrated Memorial Day. And during Memorial Day, we remember and we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country. You know, we're reminded freedom is not free. And many lives have been sacrificed so we could have the freedoms that we enjoy today, all the way back to the American Revolutionary War, all the way up through our history. There are untold thousands and thousands that gave their lives in order that we might enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in America. I am a veteran. I appreciate very much the sacrifice of the military. I served in the military. I lived in England for 3 years. I was at the RAF Bentwaters and the 81st Tactical Fighter Squadron, and I enjoyed my time in England, but I spent 3 years over there. I served there, and then there was the start of the Gulf War, at which time I transferred back to South Carolina, and I was in Sumter, South Carolina. When I got out of the United States Air Force at the end of the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, so I know a little bit about that. But I want to say today that the fight for the future of America and all that we hold dear is not being waged in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, places like that. The real war for America is being waged in the hearts and the minds of our citizens. It's not taking place in a foreign country. The fight for America is taking place in the United States of America. And the people who are for and the people that are against are not in a foreign land, but they are here in America. The greatest enemies to America and our freedoms and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and our American way of life, the greatest enemies are the progressives and the modernists that we find everywhere in America. They are in the government, they're in the federal government, they're in the state governments, they are in the local governments. They are enemies to the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, I've said this many, many times. Elected leaders, military, the service, the services, the firemen, the ambulance drivers, they take a vow to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. But what you'll find out if you really study into it, many of the people that have taken a vow, made a promise to uphold and defend the Constitution, they're doing everything within their power to destroy the Constitution. People in our government, people in high places, people in the military, they're doing everything that they can to turn our sovereignty as a nation from being a sovereign people to putting ourselves under the control of the United Nations. They're in the government, they are in the military, they are in the institutions of higher learning, and even in the elementary, the state school is just about one of the most dangerous things you can do to a child, is to send them to get brainwashed against America, against their parents, against godliness, against righteousness. We're in a war in this country. The enemies are in the liberal churches. They're in the military. You will find them everywhere. People who have no care or concern for our history, our heritage, our Constitution, and right on down the line. These are the enemies of America, as most of us grew up knowing it. Now, the heroes in this fight, and the side that I would like to be considered and find myself upon, are those who are true blue constitutionalists in the United States of America. There are some who still say that what we need is not something new. We just need to get back to what made us great to begin with. We need to get back to the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence and all of its ideas are still great enough for America. These are the heroes in the fight. Many times in these groups, you will find that these constitutionalists, these patriots, are truly born-again Christians. They get their idea, they get their inspiration that there is such thing as an absolute, something being absolutely right and absolutely wrong. You'll find these many times are Bible-believing Christians. The heroes in this fight are the pastors across America, not the liberals, not the ones who deny the Word of God and denounce the Word of God, but the ones that get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Bible says. This is the absolute authority in our life. These are the heroes in this fight. Pastors who believe the Bible, they preach and teach the Bible, and they're not afraid of man. They're not afraid of the government. They're not afraid of public opinion. They're not afraid if it does not set well with anybody. They just want to preach and be faithful to the Word of God. These are heroes in our day and time. The very few politicians, there are still some, and they're not hard to find because they stand out like a sore thumb among the rest. But you know what? I'm thankful there are some that will just say, "What does the Constitution say? Let's just do that. That's what made us great to begin with. It's not outdated. It still works." The battle for America is being fought right here in America, not on some foreign shore. North Carolina is evidently now on the front lines of this battle. Now, a great victory was given to those who love America and freedom and standing for what's right. There was a great victory when the citizens of North Carolina voted on a constitutional amendment to define and protect marriage. I'm very thankful that that did pass. And nothing would please me more than just to forget about the whole thing. But I want to just tell you today, so you can go ahead and be prepared, this subject is never going to go away. It's not going to go away. In fact, it's going to continually be brought up and brought up. And so the line has been drawn in the sand, and this is never going to go away. It's continually going to be a a subject, and it's going to have to either be exposed for what it is or what I'm afraid of. People, they'll get tired of it and just relent and give in, and people get tired of fighting, and they get tired of hearing about things like this. But the thing is, the devil and the devil's crowd, they never get tired of what they're for. Well, all I've heard since the vote took place is the progressives, the modernists, I mean, one letter to the editor after another. And you know, I just cannot believe that they are totally unbiased in their presentation of the facts. I know that's not the way it is. You see North Carolinians attacked on TV by Hollywood, the liberals, the crooked politicians, the bad-mouthing of the people of North Carolina, attacking and name-calling. They've been called everything. You, if you voted for marriage, you've been called a bigot, ignorant, inbred, hateful, all of these things. And that's all we've heard. All I've heard for the past week is about Pastor Charles Worley and the folks at Providence Road Baptist Church. Now, many of you probably don't know Pastor Worley, but I would go to bat for him any day of the week. Pastor Worley's a good man of God. He served there in that church for over 30 years. That could happen to anybody that speaks on a regular basis, makes their living by the words of their mouth. You might say that somebody could come along and take a snippet out of context, make it something that it's not, and twist it around, and that's what they've done with Pastor Worley. I mean, I would encourage anybody to go and listen to the whole message that he preached on Mother's Day. But that's all we've heard about, is all these protesters going to go and be down there last weekend. And I seen the pictures of the people protesting, and if that's 2,000 people, I'd like for the same people to come and check count how many people we have in church on Sunday morning. Why, we'd probably have 400 or 500 the way they count. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, but that's all we've heard about. But what I have not heard about very much at all is that how somebody came and tried to burn down the church on last Saturday night. You know, that's the crowd that claims to be loving and open-minded and all of these things. Why, they tried to burn the church down, the Providence Road Baptist Church. What gets me is why they don't show things equally when it comes to something like this. Why not show where there's a man, his name is Dan Savage. He started a movement, or I don't know what it's called, but he's a homosexual. He started something called It Gets Better, and he has a, I don't know, YouTube, and he has a talk show, and he's an anti-bullying spokesperson, and a homosexual, of course, as I've already said. He did a, there was a group of high school journalists. They were having a convention or a meeting of some kind. High school journalists had come from different places, and Dan Savage was going to speak at that thing on anti-bullying. That's what he capitalizes on, is anti-bullying. Well, Dan Savage gets up in front, he's a homosexual, he gets up in front of these high school students, and one of the first things he says is, I hope you're all on birth control, to high school students. Then he goes on in his little speech, and one of the next things he says, I'm going to talk about the Bible. And he says, we're going to have to get over all the blankety blank in the Bible. And he begins to attack the Bible. Christian students get up and walk out of the room. Nobody said anything back to him. They just got up and walked out of the room. He begins to berate them and call them out and call them names and bully them. He's up on a big wide screen, and I mean, you can see the thing. I thought about showing it here or playing it back here on the radio broadcast, but it has so much cursing and foulness in it that I wouldn't even feel right. I mean, it's awful. Why not show something like that? Modernists, progressives, are the most violent people in history. We had a visiting preacher last Sunday night, and he preached out of Genesis chapter number 4. Brother Kenneth Forbes, and I really enjoyed the message, but he preached a message on Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Cain is the first modernist in the Bible. Cain rejected the Word of God, which was a blood sacrifice. Cain brought of the fruit of his hands, that his good works would be good enough to please God. And Cain wanted to come his own way, just like many, many today. Oh, we want to be religious, but we want to come how we want to come. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You just don't come to God any old way you want to. We'll come God's way or we'll not come at all. And that's what we learn from Genesis chapter 4 in Cain and Abel. Well, Cain flat out rejected God. He didn't want to come God's way. He wanted to come his way. Well, you read on down, God rejected Cain. He set a mark upon him. He sent him out in the land of Nod. And the preacher said Sunday night, in the land of Nod without God. And that's where Cain was. And that's where many, many people are in our society today. They're out in the land of Nod without God. They've rejected God's way, and God's rejected their way. And then we read over in there further where Cain came and he talked with Abel. He got mad and he killed him. The first modernist in the Bible is also one of the first murderers in the Bible. Cain killed Abel. He couldn't stand Abel's preaching, Abel's teaching and telling about there's a right way to come to God, and it's through the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that same fight is going on in America today? The modernist hates the preaching of the Word of God. Well, what do we do about this two-pronged attack to destroy America? Well, we could get back to the Bible. Until we come back in repentance and humility in America, until God's people does that, there's no hope for us in America. We need to put all the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter number 6. We need to return to the old paths of the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter number 6. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We need to reject the progressives in their teachings, in their candidacies, and we need to reject modernism in the churches. Enshrine the Bible to its rightful place. Enshrine the Constitution back to its rightful place, and America could be saved. Well, our time's coming on. Noah has the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.